Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Pan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Dr. Deborah Snyder. She is a therapist, author, speaker, and an intuitive consultant. Deborah and I will be discussing about her life's journey and her latest multi-award-winning book titled Intuitive Parenting, Listening to the Wisdom of Your Heart. Good morning, Deborah. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Johnny. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful. I'm very excited to have you on. Your book is a wonderful read. It just connects with me so well. I had thought that it was a parenting book, but when I read into it, what's interesting about it is that it helps me as a person to become more aware of my sense of intuitiveness. And I strongly recommend it to everyone who is interested in getting their intuitive skills up to the next level. I think it is a must read for anyone who is motivated enough to be a better human being. I'm not kidding when I say that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful book. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Okay, well, childhood to the present moment, boy, that might take a little while. Johnny, my philosophy of life is about intuition and living with an intuitive heart, and that came to me from the time I was quite young. I've always had a strong sense of intuition, and I was born into a family that had a strong sense of intuition, and it was never thought of as any kind of weird or way that we shouldn't be. Truthfully, I did not know until I was a little bit older, maybe more middle school, high school age, that not everyone was so sensitive. So, for example, if you're sitting next to someone riding a bus and, you know, I would kind of sense that something was wrong with them. I might have even known that they had their dog died or something like that. I didn't know that not everybody could pick that up right away. So it took a while for me. So I grew up, as I would say, sort of a casual intuitive, where it was just a natural part of who I am. I'm a cliche Pisces in the sense that people born under the sign of Pisces are also often known to be quite intuitive. So that's also been a big part of my nature. When my life shifted and how I began working with what I'm doing now with my program called Heart Glow and my book Intuitive Parenting is the rebirth of my intuition. I was 29 years old, so I'd had a kind of a really good typical life, traditional college education, working in a corporate environment, you know, nice life, husband, stepson, the whole thing. When I was 29, I gave birth to a beautiful child who was born with a serious brain malformation, my daughter Reagan Aria. And that rocked my world in a sense that in addition to having this just traumatic event kind of happen to you, I knew it was coming, and I couldn't quite figure out why I knew it was coming. And when my, you know, I was getting these instances in my pregnancy, and then after her birth, I started realizing I was getting kind of like assistance. I was knowing things that I didn't know how I knew them, and it could provide great assistance to my daughter. And having these experiences made me delve further into, okay, how can you do this? Why can you do this? And just day by day as I went along, and, you know, Reagan's life is, you know, very challenging. Any child that has such a significant disability, it's not all wine and roses for sure. There's a lot of work and a lot of effort that goes into just kind of daily living activities. And this extra sense of perception that I got along the way was I was starting to rely on more than even regular tangible things. So this is really kind of when I was sort of born anew into my intuition. And I realized Reagan herself was actually communicating with me. Now, this is a child that has a developmental level of, you know, like a newborn or a five-month-old child, and yet she was still able to talk to me through my heart. And as you've read in the book, there are a lot of significant experiences that I go into, literally where I realized, okay, this isn't just me. This child is using a sense of energy communication to reach out to me so that I can actually help her. And there was a situation in which we literally were able to save her life based upon the information that she conveyed to me. And after going through that, it brought me to delving into a sea of full discovery where I went back to school and studied metaphysical philosophy. I studied spirituality. I had to know. I'm like the most skeptical psychic person you could ever meet. I had to know why, how I could do all this sort of stuff. And so I, you know, I went back in and shored up that foundation and learned about it a little bit more. And by doing that, it has really allowed me to pave the way for other people so that they too can open their hearts and live intuitively and parent intuitively.
Did you ever feel growing up that knowing that you kind of have this ability, and of course it's always been in your family, been passed on from generation to generation, did you feel like you were taking it kind of for granted, so to speak?
I guess I never really thought of it that way as taking it for granted, because it's just like, do you take your hearing for granted? Do you take your eyesight for granted? Yeah, we probably all do, because when we don't, all of a sudden we don't have that. Say we have a little injury or something and we have to wear a little patch, we'd be like, oh, I miss my right eye tremendously. So it was a sense, the family that I grew up in was highly intuitive but not necessarily highly religious. So I didn't have that spiritual connection to it. So that's probably what really shifted for me, is I had my spirituality separate. The church that I went to and everything was kind of like a separate thing from my intuition. And never did I really know that you could actually tie it together, and the fact that your intuition is a strong, natural ability. And by living with an open, intuitive heart, you're actually more connected to your divine self and can express that in whatever way. So open, of course, to all types of spiritual beliefs, any religion. It can all just get better and better as you realize it can all be totally connected. Now, my grandmother is parent of 12 children. So seeing her employ her, you know, radar, natural radar, you know, boy, that lady had to have radar, and I'm just so honored to, you know, follow in her footsteps in a way. My grandmother just passed away a few days ago, and so it's especially poignant for me to be meeting with you today, who values the connection with our, you know, maternal people so much in our lives, because she certainly is that to me. So I think it's a special, it's especially poignant that I'm on with you today, because, you know, you get that, you know that, how important that is. So seeing my grandmother throughout my life as, you know, a young child and a grown woman that I am now, watching her do this, I realized that it is, you know, it's that sense of mother's intuition just really turned up higher to that next notch, and watching her be able to just love people so fully, so unconditionally, and allow it to, you know, just enhance her life and everyone's lives around her. There's really no better role model. And my own mother, who does it a little bit differently, like hers is a little more laser. My mom really knew when, like, something was going to go awry, for example. So I could see in all these different people in my family how their intuition worked differently, just like their personalities are different. So, which makes me realize we can all do it. We can all open ourselves to it.
So what you're saying is that everyone has the ability.
Yes, everyone definitely has the ability to one degree or another. How a good way to look at that is sometimes we see on television that three-year-old child protege that can play Chopin on the piano just tremendously, where, you know, I at 40, you know, can plunk along a little bit on the keyboard, you know, like maybe do chopsticks on a good day. So it's, you know, some people might have a more natural affinity. But it certainly means that anyone can do it. You just, how you apply yourself, how you open yourself, how you develop it. My daughter Reagan is one of the key points about this, because we're looking at a child who I said is devoid of ego. You know, she's profoundly mentally retarded and disabled, and she can use energy effortlessly. So we often limit those things based upon our intellect, because we can't do this, we shouldn't do this, we haven't done this. So Reagan can show us that energy transcends intellect. Energy and the power of the heart transcends any limitation. So yes, anyone can do this. And I just would propose to anyone out there, just try it. It doesn't hurt. You know, you can be skeptical all you want, but by choosing to be skeptical and digging your heels in that something doesn't absolutely exist, you're denying the possibilities for all other things. So I would just, you know, encourage people just to open themselves up a little bit more, and you'll see how amazing it can actually be.
Your book talk a lot about energy and energy communications and so forth. how does energy communication relate to healing? And perhaps before answering that, tell us a little bit more about energy. I think you covered very well in the book in terms of understanding our own personal energy within ourselves.
Right. Well, this is where I talk a little bit about what's called the subtle energy system of our bodies, mm-hmm. and how so there are actually things within us that allow us to decipher information and energy properly. There is actually science that supports these ideas. So it's not the idea that we're just in dream state all the time being able to pull out this information. No, there are parts of us, you know, called our subtle energy system, which helps us detect this. So think of it in a way as almost our own little antennas out there picking information up. And knowing your energy system of your body, it all depends on, you know, people look at it a lot of different ways. For example, depending upon, like, people that are into yoga, for example, know a lot about the chakra system.
Mm-hmm.
So some people might call them chakras. Others call them energy centers. But ultimately, they are the same thing. It's all depending what, you know, school of thought that we're employing to understand it. So, you know, energy, I have a tendency to try to use general terms, so I let people, you know what I'm talking about. So I talk about energy, I talk about energy fields, energy centers, energy pathways. But in yoga, for example, they'll talk about prana, which means energy. Or they'll mm-hmm. talk about qi or ki. You know, we all hear of qigong and different mm-hmm. martial arts. They'll talk about how different things move. We're all referring to that same energy, which is our vitality, our life force. Now, our energy field, people, you know, use the term aura a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's referring mm-hmm. to our personal energy field around our body. And again, in energy medicine, they'll talk about that as the biofield, that kind of
right.
thing. Energy centers, as I said, are referred to as chakras or acupoints or transformers. All different language, all different beliefs, but all roughly pointing to the same thing. So in my book, Intuitive Parenting, and kind of how I work with my clients through HeartGlow, is I teach them about their own subtle energy system, how to sense things through their body, and how to develop that. So in a sense, if you think about it, by being healthy energetically, we increase our chances of being able to be sensitive to energies. And all of that subtle energy system is tied closely with our own physical health, spiritual health, emotional health. So those things are all interconnected. It's like, you know, our right hand and left hand working together. You know, it's all a part
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
the system of who we are. So if your question is, you know, yes, can anybody, develop intuitive ability? Yes, they certainly can. How does energy communication relate to healing? It's actually very similar. A lot of people talk about Reiki and the different forms of energy healing.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about energy communication, it's just taking it to a different level, not a higher level, not a lower level, just another level. It's just another way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day when they researched telepathy, for example, they were limiting it to mental abilities. In
mm-hmm.
my belief system, it is actually an ability of the heart and the energy of the heart and the energy fields surrounding the heart. So it's our heart, minds, all working together. So it's really not that far of a stretch to think that the energy field of myself, for example, and the energy field of my child, for example, you know, can actually communicate. I teach about in HeartGlow that it is when we can actually communicate with each other when we're in resonance or on the same vibe as somebody. The information comes back and forth all the time, but we're not often sensitive to it because we've got so much other distractions going on. So
mm-hmm.
In my work with families, I call this the field of intuitive harmony. So think
mm-hmm.
of it in simple terms as the place where our hearts meet. So it's with where your two hearts overlap and where they meet. So, and this common field is created by our sacred bonds to one another, and it is where energy communication and healing is possible when we're on that same wavelength with one another. So you could see, looking at a mother and child, for example, especially think of a nursing baby, very little, their energy centers, their energy fields are very connected, and
mm-hmm.
they don't have a lot of other things distracting them because the child, that newborn child, their primary interest is loving their mother and taking in nutrition, and they're not yet distracted by Sesame Street and Elmo and, you know, work and everything. So it's like getting back to those sacred heart connections and allowing people to be able to experience that and feel that. So most of the work that I do is in education and developing sensitivities for people so they can get to that place, you know, beyond, you know, the time of nursing. This is for people of all times. And I thank you so much for honoring and acknowledging the fact that the material in the book is so much beyond parenting. This particular book, of course, is focused on different aspects of how to apply it for parenting, but
right.
The material can cover our entire souls, our entire way of life, and any relationship that we have. I mean, I have people that use these techniques with their animals, that they
mm-hmm.
have any
mm-hmm.
souls that they're connected to. So it's, you know, it's very, very viable work, and I appreciate you acknowledging that.
Your book is just wonderful. I have to say that because your book offers a very well thought out exercise program, and it actually helps us to build within ourselves and identifying ourselves. You mentioned something about children being automatically connected to the parent, and the mom in this case, obviously. And what is interesting is that we as adults are not giving that sort of present moment connection all the time to the child. And so what your book does is that it reminds us, I'm not a parent yet. Anyone who is a parent that's reading your book understands that, I need to be in the present moment. Because whenever a child is with you, they are always in the present moment.
That's correct. It's literally just showing up for them spiritually, heart-centered
mm-hmm.
wise. And
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean I don't understand the day-to-day struggles of life and I'm saying, oh, you just need to quit everything and just drop out and hang out with your child all the day. No. I understand. We all have roof, you know, we have a roof to put over their head and food
mm-hmm.
for them to
mm-hmm.
eat and a life to create. But you can have all of this stuff and all of those other things, all of the physical and tangible things
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we create for our lives only get better when we are opening ourselves up, when that intuitive heart is ignited, especially in service to our families. And it's to me, now that I do it this way, it is crucial. I am happy. And, you know, I had a life before my daughter was born. It was a good
mm-hmm.
life, but
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of trying to keep up with the Joneses and a lot of kind of, what am I supposed to be doing this for? You know, you get a raise and you're happy that you get a raise for your job, but then you realize, and I'm spending the money to do what? You know, you
mm-hmm.
then get a car that costs more money, so you need to earn more money, and it's just kind of like getting caught up in that rat race, and you forget it's about creating a life because we're so focused on earning a paycheck or making a living. So this is really trying to encourage people to step up to a higher level, not only for their children, but of course for themselves. Because when we're good to ourselves, we're only better for anyone that we share love with.
What are the essence of Heart Glow?
Heart Glow itself, and this is the state, you know, this is my work beyond any one particular book, but Heart Glow is a state of being. It is, in a sense, living with an intuitive heart. It is when we have the conscious awareness of divine energy radiating from our core, from our very center, when our own essence, our light, emits its unique glow out to the universe and then receives love, guidance, and support in return. So when you're living your life with a glowing heart, you're making a choice to access and flow with divine energy. So this is my belief, you know, in the how things work and the higher power, and that we all have our own unique light to shine. Think of it as our soul light, our heart light. And by living that way and being open, we get all of that love and acceptance back from the universe, and it's a constant, continuous flow. So the goal of my work, Heart Glow, is to help people create, increase, and support resonance in our life and our shared fields, heighten their own sensitivities to enhance communication and healing. So it is, when you live your life with a glowing heart, with an intuitive heart, it affects all other aspects of your life, your parenting relationship, your marriage, your job, everything like that. And part of that has to do with being aware, as we talked about earlier, being in that present moment and allowing our intuition to be as viable to us as the senses of touch, taste, sound, sight, etc.
It's very interesting you talk about touch, because that's something that we all take for granted, but to me will be the first sense that we can all appreciate, because there are many, many times in our lives that we just truly enjoy that wonderful hug when we
mm-hmm.
need it. Don't you think?
That's right. Oh, definitely. And there's a lot of healing just in that. In the book Intuitive Parenting, we talk about the resonance of sound, the resonance of touch,
mm-hmm.
resonance of love. And that is, you know, I'm specifically stating that, you know, we have these tools within us to employ them that will naturally help our systems and help our ability to do this, touch being crucial, because when we embrace in love and we have a soft caress, what that conveys about us and what gets conveyed back to us, or are we touching from a place of anger
mm-hmm.
that we shouldn't, that closes off the rest of all of us? It makes us real. We're human. We've all probably grabbed someone by the arm in anger or too much haste, you know, whether we're fighting with a sibling or when we were a child or whatever. But we all remember how horrible that makes us feel, too. You know, it brings out the worst in us as opposed to the best in us. So it is. So when we are working with a resonance of touch, it is bringing our awareness to that X level to know, you know, touch with intention, touch with love. Utilize that unconditional support in all aspects
mm-hmm.
that you do, and it will only help support you even more.
One of the things that you did initially with your daughter is to sing to her, and I know you enjoy
yes.
music very well, and that brings us to the next question in terms of vibrations, because to me, that's how, you know, a sense of sound, I guess, in what I'm trying
right.
to get across here, and you can increase the vibrations and so forth.
Well, when we talk about, I think a lot of us can relate to being, you know, we think back to the Beach Boys, I'm picking up good vibrations. Excuse my singing, it's not good. But we all relate to that, because do you remember, you know, think back of going out with our friends to, you know, go out in the town to do whatever, and the energy's high and the vibes are good and we're going to meet some cool people and we're going to do some cool things. You know, we can all relate to that sense of anticipation and excitement, you know, when we're going to go do something social like that. That
yeah.
actually can, you know, be with us a lot. So I encourage people to go tap into those moments where they actually felt the vibes in their body. And it's, for me, I have a tendency to approach things from a very fun-loving, casual perspective. I don't like to make things untouchable or unapproachable. It's all approachable. It's all us. A lot of times we already know about these things, but we don't know what they are, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just unconscious for us. So, yes, to raise the vibration in your household, you know, maybe shut off the TV for a while you're watching the news, get you more and more depressed, and put on a song that makes your heart come alive, that makes your life come alive. Introduce your children to what you listened to when you were a junior in high school. They'll laugh, definitely, but it gets the energy of the house a little bit peppier.
Mm-hmm.
When I work with clients who have family members that are aged, for example, or dealing with Alzheimer's, and, you know, oftentimes I will encourage them to bring them their music to them of a
mm-hmm.
time when they felt more alive, and it will encourage them, and it will naturally encourage the vibration and the energy. So we have a lot of fun activities in the book that we recommend people to raise their own vibration naturally through singing, through dancing, through listening to music, through creating music, to enjoying other people's music. So there's all different aspects. When you were talking about singing to my daughter, in that book, that one little poignant scene that strikes to me was, I'll bring people there for a second, is Reagan and I were in Boston Children's Hospital, and I was laying with her in her bed. She was recovering from a surgery, and in the next bed, of course, is another child and their mother. You know, that child is also recovering from their own procedure.
Mm-hmm.
But that parent and child happened to be from the Middle East, all the way across the world. So in a sense, you're thinking, geez, you know, I really don't have anything in common with this family. We can't speak the same language, and we're, you know, we're just not relating, and you're trying to be comfortable. Then all of a sudden, you know, I realize as I'm there laying with my daughter, singing her a lullaby to go to sleep, I could hear this mom singing to her little son the lullaby mm-hmm. in their own language. And it struck me so strongly that it doesn't matter what the language is. The actual language is love. The actual, you know, the songs, our heart songs, are helping heal our children. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, I pulled back enough, you can see, you know, we're all these beings of light. And it was such a profound moment for me, because it made me realize that mother is me and I am her. That child is my child and my child is hers. And it was a very, very profound shift in my life. And, you know, I just shed these beautiful tears over it, because we have a tendency in our society, in our country, to find all the things that separate us, when it's really what brings us together that matters. And we're much, much more alike than we are different. And when push comes to shove, capitalism and politics and some of those things, you know, really don't matter. It's not worth a hill of beans when you get to the end of the race. And, you know, so I'm encouraging folks to live this way, not just for a couple hours on a Sunday while at a spiritual service, but in every day of their life. And they will be so much happier for it. And just paying attention to where those vibes come for you, what makes you rise up, what kind of makes you feel diminished. And we all have those people in our lives that kind of, like, it's like, oh, that's a lot of work, just having a conversation with them. Sometimes they've got that Eeyore personality or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they're bad and we're good. It just means that we're not necessarily in resonance with them.
Right.
So we need to go with what makes us come alive, what makes us feel like we're a little more uplifted. And when we're that Eeyore person, we have to figure out why we are and take responsibility for that, so we're not bringing other people down. My husband and I love this. There was a commercial on TV a while ago where this lady says, are you a radiator or are you a drain? And that's a real funny way to look at it, but it's true. Do you radiate? Are you, you know, raising the vibration of the world by just being in it in every moment? Or, you know, are you draining the life out of yourself and other people because you're kind of caught up in ego and attachment and how you
right.
feel something should be? So,
right.
But I'll be honest, this Heart Glow Living is no light task, because it is asking people to suspend a belief system that they probably didn't even know they subscribed to from a very young time. It's asking people to do something different. And it's hard. We like to hold on to our victimizations. We like to hold on to our ego and defend ourselves. And but I encourage those who are ready to live at the next level, to be a strong intuitive, to be a strong psychic, to take these next steps, and they'll never regret it.
How can they increase and amplify their vibrations?
That pretty much is simple to do through intention, through actions, through awareness. So there are different exercises in the book where I specifically talk about that. I think awareness is key, because it's all out there. So for people to discover and for people to do and implement. And everybody's a little different, and I really encourage people to find their own way. My path is my path. It's not yours. You know, you're meant to be Johnny and I'm meant to be Deb, and that's great, because the world only needs one you and one me. And so it's helping people find what works for them. I think one of the best ways to help people in being more sensitive and to helping raise vibration in their life is helping eliminate some of the things that are of lower vibration. And that can come from something as simple as cleaning their room, you know, cleaning their house, getting away some of this toxic clutter that's around, and doing that same sort of housekeeping in other aspects of your life. You know, letting go of projections and attachments and labels. And, you know, you really do feel lighter. I think we've all had that experience where we have, you know, been dreading, like, cleaning our office or our room or whatever it is. But when we do, we're like, wow, that was great. I feel fantastic. And I'm never going to let it get messy again. Ha ha. But, you know, we know that feeling of exuberance. That's just a good everyday example of, you know, how you can raise the vibration, feel from it. Just a simple act. Now, one of the things that I am a strong believer of is to have that intention. We need to be able to be firm about setting our intentions, yet we have to take action in support of that. There are many people out there who want others to do the work for them, and that will never work because we are our own person. We are responsible for ourselves. This is our life's journey, and it doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, my husband stands in my way, or my mother stands in my way, or, you know, I can understand some of those fundamentals of it, you know, but we make the choice to allow them to stand in our way. We can always make another choice. I used to love, when I was in college, reading Leo Buscaglia, and, you know, I don't know if you know Leo, but he taught a lot about love, and he taught a lot about hugs, and just a fantastic man. And, you know, he always said, if you don't like, you know, the scene of your life, change it, rewrite it. And it really is that simple. It really is that simple, having that courageous heart to be able to live authentically. And knowing, you know, I'm not saying people have to just go shift in 1 minute, but knowing to take steps in that direction. So knowing what doesn't serve us, figuring out what doesn't serve us, and then moving in that direction. Many people don't even want to figure out what doesn't serve them. So I encourage them that they're worth it. They should go on that self-discovery tour.
I agree with you. And one of the things you talk about and that I see throughout your book is the journaling aspects of it, putting your thoughts on paper, because then it's something that you can read and remind yourself. And then the next thing that you talk about, obviously, is the power of visualization. And
correct.
That's very, very important, because then you're able to see within your own self that you can work on yourself, not your environment, and you have total control of that.
Exactly. And that being, and like I said, that being said, I know, and it's being happy with kind of who you are in your circumstance. Using my daughter as an example, you know, my daughter, thank goodness, you know, is still with us. She's actually going to be 12 years old this winter, you know, this December. But she had a 2-week life expectancy at birth. So this little girl is writing her own ticket. You know, she's sticking around for now. We're blessed to have her every moment we do. We know that it can be precarious at times, but she is who she is. And the gift is in the acceptance of the gift in the form that it has come in, not trying for her to be someone else. I am not, through creative visualization and intention, trying to grow my daughter a new brain. I am acceptant of who she is. And, you know, when I do set my intentions, it's for well-being, it's for understanding, it's for health, you know, because we can all be at a certain level of health no matter what our disability or ability is. So looking at what a lot of people are being confronted with right now is the economy in our country, and actually in the world right now. It is really precarious. I'm not saying to people to waste their dreams and intentions on trying to visualize winning the lottery. What would we do if we won the lottery is what's important. How would we serve others? How would we change? So we take the money aspect out of it and say, and start visualizing on what those things actually represent. Most of us, you know, it really isn't having a big pile of money put on our lap, because then we'd be like, well, now what? You know, it's what does that money represent to you in freedom? Because it usually goes to a much higher thing than to just money. So it's like people mostly want happiness. They want freedom to be able to do what they want to do, meaning seeing other relatives and, you know, having a safe place to live, those kinds of things. So I encourage people to take that kind of money aspect out and look at what that would value or what that would represent. And it's so funny how the universe works and how different things can come about, because when you realize, for example, someone realizes, well, you know, I just actually want a job in which I would love and, you know, can do it, and it's not, like I said, just I want a salary, I want actually a job that helps uplift the world, all of a sudden they'll get like a call and, oh, so-and-so is leaving and they recommended you be their replacement, would you like to interview? It's like, what, are you kidding me? Things have a way, you know, of coming forward. Wishes do come true. We just got to know exactly what it is we truly, truly want to manifest, and then help that be manifest.
Very true. You talk about sensory exploration approach in your book. Can you please elaborate on that?
Yes, the sensory exploration approach is a commitment to using our senses in a heightened state of awareness. So think of it as perceiving with every part of our being as an instrument of spirit. So, and working in the book, I talk about it as developing an energy language within your own family. So through sharing these common experiences with sharp awareness, we're creating an energy repertoire that is unique to our own individual families, to our own individual field of intuitive harmony, will help communicate. This is especially crucial for family members that have nonverbal people in their family, like my own child, because what you're doing is, and I talk about, for example, digging in the garden,
mm-hmm.
planting plants, digging in the dirt, and think about all of the sensory activities that are involved in there. For one, you're doing a very natural exercise with the earth. You know, you're grounding, literally connecting with the earth. But when you're doing so, you're literally getting your hands in the dirt. You're feeling the dirt. You're feeling the water as you water the garden. You're smelling the moist soil. You're
mm-hmm.
hearing the little bees buzz around you. A lot of times we're out there in the garden and we're not paying attention to any of that stuff. This is asking you to pay attention at that higher level, especially when you're doing these activities with your children, because what you're doing is giving yourself common shared experience. In
mm-hmm.
Reagan's case, and I use this in this example specifically in the book, is that it was just a very lovely day, and she and I went outside, you know, and laid on a blanket on the grass, on the ground. And, you know, again, Reagan's very profound, so her ability to experience things are somewhat limited, but I still give her the opportunity to do this. And we were out there, you know, with our toes in the grass and our hands in the grass and just experiencing it and just enjoying it. You know, we're not having a lesson like, Reagan, this is grass and this is
mm-hmm.
what grass smells like. You know, we're doing it much more naturally.
Mm-hmm.
That night when I was tucking her into bed, the smell of that grass and everything, she flooded the room with that smell. And I was like, you're right, that was wonderful and amazing, wasn't it, sweetheart? And that gave her, see, energy doesn't limit us. She was able to say, I enjoyed that, and that was her way of telling me she enjoyed it. That is actually not uncommon for folks who, for example, do spirit communication work, where
mm-hmm.
After a loved one is passed on, they send fragrances of roses, or you'll smell someone's pipe or cigar.
Mm-hmm.
So think of some of the stuff in my work. I'm actually encouraging people to communicate with energy, with spirits living on the planet. You know, so it's not just a matter of people who have departed. It's with other beings that are right here, right now. It's another tool that we can use. So the sensory exploration approach is a way to train us individually and, you know, with our kids, if we choose to employ it within our families, how to truly savor something. So think about going out for a nice Italian dinner, for example, and all the tastes and textures and smells and sounds in that environment, whether it be the wine or the cheese or even hearing the cooks in the kitchen talking. I worked for a wonderful Italian family when I was in college, so I use that as an example because I can remember him bellowing in the kitchen to his daughters to do something. And just, you know, there's a lot of excitement and love and all that kind of stuff in that environment. And it allows us to experience things fully, to really have a full experience in life. And, you know, to me, when it will come time to my time to leave this earth, knowing that I not only have memories and mind's eye pictures, but I've also filed away, you know, some of these great things through scents and sounds and stuff, it, you know, makes me smile to thinking about it, that I'll be able to look back upon my life and experience with all of that. And all of those things shared with our families. So think about like Thanksgiving holiday, for example, in the United States. It's
mm-hmm.
a huge holiday for us. You know, it's the traditions. You know, this will be the first year I will have without my grandmother, which will be very, very challenging for me. But my grandmother made the best homemade bread for Thanksgiving. And don't you know that myself and several of my other cousins and aunts and uncles will make sure to make that at their Thanksgiving table this year in honor of my grandmother, because we will feel her energy
right
when we smell that bread coming out of the oven. You know, powerful, powerful stuff, sensory exploration, very powerful stuff.
And that's clairsentience, right? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Clairsentience is the ability of, like, kind of knowing something. You don't know how you know it, but you know it. So
okay.
Clairaudience is being able to, like, hear your mind's
ear,
eye.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Clairvoyance. That's what clairvoyance is, mind's eye. Clairaudience is, like, that inner ear for
mm-hmm.
you. Oh, I cannot remember that sense of smell one, but there is, like, one for sense of smell. They have names for everything, labels for everything. But it's all intuition. It's all energy, no matter what you call it. You know, it is that ability. So, and to me, I know having that stuff carried along with it is, it's all, again, heart communication, delving beyond boundaries and barriers. So, but everyone, whether they acknowledge it or not, does have those abilities. And, you know, a lot of people don't recall their dreams because they're, like, really busy. They go, oh, I don't dream. They mm-hmm. do dream. We know. We've actually hooked people up to machines that say they don't dream and measure the fact that they actually do dream at night. You know, they're just, they wake up too quickly or, you know, that alarm goes off and your feet hit the floor and you forget everything you just mm-hmm. experienced. So it's a matter of some of those same creative abilities being used in a different way in your waking state. So knowing what's going on, I do still, of course, over the years, I do have clairsentient, clairaudient, mm-hmm. clairvoyant mm-hmm. abilities. But it's some of those messages that I still get in dream state, that sleepy time between like 2 and 4 in the morning, that are the most crucial to me. I mean, because often that's when I might get like a visitation from somebody or something mm-hmm. else come across, like this sort of message come across, and actually insight for business and things like that. I'll get like an idea. Because a lot of times we pray and we ask for guidance, but then we don't give ourselves that opportunity to listen to the answer. Sometimes mm-hmm. that will come at that time of day, or it will come in during a state of meditation.
Let's talk about self-healing. I believe you covered that very well in your book for parents. And mm-hmm. to me, that's one of the critical aspects of being able to elevate your energy to the next level in connecting with your loved ones.
It truly is, and I'm so proud of this chapter in the book on self-healing, because people have said to me, that could be a book all by itself, just that chapter.
It's true.
What is it telling us? It's telling us that a lot of people really do need to make themselves a priority and to heal, and that we cannot be there for our children and our lovers, our husbands, our friends, until we're truly there for ourselves and in a healthy state with ourselves. So knowing how to, kind of get our lives in order and get beyond the chaos and, live our lives fully, it comes easier and better when we're in healthier state. And I talk in that chapter, for example, of how it all kind of clicks in together. So I talk about physical wellness and literally how we take care of our body, how we, you know, what we eat, what we do. Anyone who knows me will know I will never pass up a piece of chocolate cake and a glass of cold milk. So I am no fanatic when it comes to health, but I believe in balance. So I know that if I do have that delicious piece of chocolate cake with chocolate frosting and a big glass of milk, that, you know, I'm not going to do it every night, for example, but I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to know every taste of it, every texture of it, you know, all aspects of it, and enjoy it fully. And when you mm-hmm. do that, you don't feel the need to do it every day, because then you want to feel the same way about having a piece of cold watermelon on a hot August day. Hey, we're in the middle of a heat wave right now. What's better than like a cold fruit, you know? It's great. So then we also talk about mental wellness, and that's literally knowing for an adult that you need time for yourself to do your own mental abilities. We have a tendency, especially we joke about it after we have kids, of like a mommy brain or daddy brain. You just kind of, you're so overwhelmed, overworked but underutilized that, you know, you're watching, you know, children's cartoon networks all the time. That, you know, you forget that, wow, I used to be on a debate team, or I used to actually know all the ins and outs of this, you know, history. You know, I was a, you know, specialty on Italian history. You know, all that stuff kind of leaves us because we don't encourage it. So I'm encouraging people to actually look at themselves as an individual, igniting those mental abilities again, and whatever interests you. So not everyone has to go and run statistics, but those who love to do it, do it. You know, make sure you do it, and, you know, take time away from your day-to-day responsibilities to do something which encourages you to enhance your life in that way. And, you know, they, like they say, they're finding, you know, as far as mental ability goes and physical abilities, you use it or you lose it. So it's constantly, you know, constantly being able to use it. It doesn't make, if you don't like it, don't do it, but make yourself interested. Learn another language. You know, do something that's really creative. You know, we are used to, humans, we're used to learning. We like to learn, especially when it's a subject that we're interested in. Now, I also discuss emotional wellness, and that's literally trying to make sure that we can take a hold of what's going on in our life and keep things positive. So getting the support when you need it, knowing when to see a counselor or a therapist or even, you know, a close friend. We all often have those close friends in our lives that can really be that source of salvation for us. So letting go of old things, like why have that 30-year-old fight with a, you know, stepbrother, you know, that does, it's really not serving us anymore. It doesn't mean we have to go out for coffee every day with that person, but we certainly don't have to hold on to the old, you know, resentments and everything. So, and spiritual wellness to me is important because it's finding that place of belongingness in whatever form that takes. For some people, it will be a church or a synagogue. For other people, it will be a yoga class or simply, you know, time to contemplate. And we talked a little bit earlier about energetic wellness is important and is knowing how to be aware of your subtle energy system, knowing how to do a simple aura wash technique, which, of course, all those things are in the book for people. But when you as an adult or a parent kind of have yourself in balance, you are so much a better parent. You are so much a better spouse, a better lover, a better friend, because you're able to just then take the experiences of life and react appropriately. Often, have you ever had that instance where someone comes up with some information for you, but because we're already in such a bad state, we're like, what? Are you kidding? And we really overreact. You know, it wasn't that that did it, but it was maybe, as they say, the straw that broke the camel's back. So if we're in more of a state of balance and have overall well-being, these things are much easier for us. These new skills that we're learning with energy and intuition are much, much easier, and your life is much happier.
Very true. One of the things that I enjoy reading about your book, you emphasize aspects of gratitude, because that's something that sometimes we don't pay a whole lot of attention to. Tell us a little bit more about how gratitude helps us to heal.
Well, for me, in my life, it wasn't until I was actually grateful for whatever it was I had in whatever form that things didn't start shifting for me. There was like a constant, as I'm sure a lot of people could relate to, a constant, why do I have to do this? Why am I having to endure this or whatever? When you have a child born to you with a severe disability, sometimes you're like, why me? Why did this happen? And you're not thinking about the actual blessing that it is. My daughter came in a very difficult form for herself, but she helped shift my entire life, and now she's helping shift many people in the world through this book. We know why now she's had to come in this form, and I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for her. I'm grateful for the blessings and the challenges along the way, because it's all perfect. And by instilling a sense of gratitude in our life, it opens our hearts and, you know, gives us true connection to everyone and everything. And I feel that we often, we'll let like that one negative thing, like say getting a flat tire on the way home from work, you know, charge our whole week. Well, oh, I got that darn flat tire. But we forget to be grateful for the fact that, oh, I have this wonderful job to go to, and I have this great husband, and I have, look at these kids, and, you know, they won a Little League game. And, you know, and if you actually stop and start, you know, making a little gratitude inventory for things that you have in your life, you'll realize that one flat tire really isn't that important. That ultimately, yeah, some truck just dropped a sharp piece of object in front of you that you didn't notice and you happen to benefit from. It's really not that personal. You know, it just is what it is. And by understanding, just having a good sense of gratitude in your life, it allows you to see things in a different way. Now, we talk about in the book what I call the heart glow way, and gratitude is actually one of those components. So it's what I consider nine essential, you know, steps for living with an intuitive heart, and they are honor, empathy, altruism, resonance, trust, gratitude, as we just discussed, love, opportunity, and wellness. So, and in the book, they kind of form this pretty little flower to let you know, okay, life, here we go. But to me, by having these elements, and, you know, and they kind of spell out heart glow if you're paying attention, so you realize, okay, I can remember this. By trying to be in this state and trying to embrace these things, I am living with an intuitive heart. I am open and aware of that divine light shining through me. And even when we're in a place that's not so positive, as I mentioned that I just lost my grandmother, I can still look at my life and my blessing of having my grandmother in my life these 41 years. I am tremendously grateful for that, tremendously grateful for all that I have. Am I hurting? Yes. Am I even, you know, get angry about different aspects or different things? Of course, I'm a human being. But ultimately, I'm able to handle some of this situation much better than I would have before, where I would have been just so, you know, victimized by the same exact situation. So I encourage people to be the human that they are, but to also be the best human that they can be and face anything that they're facing in their life with a shining light.
What would you like your readers to get out of reading your book?
Basically, for me, I think that it's important that people realize that they are actually instruments of energy, and that by living with an intuitive heart, you actually live a fantastic life. You can have a great life. This, of course, affects people's parenting abilities, but also their daily living. I think that's where some of the puzzle pieces missing for people is that they don't realize that they are an instrument of energy and that we have these natural abilities that, you know, in my belief are nature given, God, heaven sent, you know, for us to live our best life. And it's some of the other things that we are buying into that are not serving us, which are starting really to show clearly in our society. Our society is starting to really take some strong hits because of things that we thought we were supposed to believe in, you know, help us, and they really don't. I mean, the nature of our economy and everything is really causing people a lot of great depression and things right now. We've invested in things that really there were no tangible value to it other than a monetary value, which then has no value. For example, people who bought these tremendous homes, you know, years ago, as this some sort of investment, it just takes someone else's speculation then to all of a sudden make that home worth a fraction of what it cost, and now it has no value whatsoever. But we're saying, wait, you told me it had value. What am I supposed to do? And it's because we put our importance on something outside of ourselves. So I think I would like people to take home that investment in themselves, investment in their heart, living fully, believing in that light that exists inside of you, and shining it proudly in whatever form. And that means if you're a deacon at your church, or if it means you've got the best Harley on the block and you're going to ride it proudly, do it. You know, I am so open and so flexible, and, you know, as we all should be, because we're all our own unique lights shining out in the world. So that's what I want people to get.
Fantastic. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Well, my website is heartglowliving.com, so that's heartglowliving.com. They can order a signed copy of the book right there on my website, or you can get it at any major bookstore. Amazon.com usually has the best price, a lot of the online places, but I encourage a lot of independent booksellers, so any of those could order it for you if they don't currently have it on the shelf. But it is available. It is distributed by Beyond Words, Simon & Schuster, so you can get it anywhere. But to learn about my schedule and my calendar, just go to my own website, which is heartglowliving.com.
Fantastic. We're coming close to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
Well, sure. I was thinking about that because, of course, Johnny, I love how you do what you do. So I was trying to figure out, okay, what do I do in a recipe form? And so for people who are listening, Johnny and I got to meet in person in New York City at Book Expo America this past spring. So that's what brought us together, was we were both signing books at Book Expo America together. So these two award-winning authors were having a good time goofing in New York together. So it was really fun. But my recipe, I wanted to write like a traditional recipe. So I would say start with a base foundation of truth, mix in heaps of love, self-acceptance and understanding, bake with patience and curiosity, and always serve to others with your heart. So that's my recipe for living, Johnny.
You know, that's fantastic. It's like what Billy Crystal would say, simply marvelous. Marvelous.
Oh, good, good. Well, I was trying to speak your language.
That's fantastic. How has writing your book impacted you personally?
Well, for me, it's just been a tremendous journey writing the book and here touring with it after. Just the people I meet. I think that's the best part for me is just the connectedness that I'm meeting with people in this country and all over the world, and having people reach out to me on my website via email, via Facebook, all of that. I love meeting new people, and I think knowing that my daughter's life has kind of left the lessons, this legacy for people, has just been transformative for me. So it's been a total blessing.
I do want to bring up a couple of things. Your book has been translated to Dutch, correct?
German. German. Just came out in Germany. And in Germany, it's called the Hartglow-Weg, which is the Hartglow way, and which is kind of points to what you were saying earlier, that it's more than just parenting.
Right.
It's going with the whole kind of way of living. So, yes, it's just in the process of coming out in Germany right now.
And also, you are a new talk radio show host as well. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, just this past month I started Hartglow Living Radio, also on Blog Talk Radio, where I'll be doing a weekly show at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday nights. And basically our show is featuring leading lights that are out there in the field of metaphysics, spirituality. I have guests on that talk about being a psychic, being a medium, yoga, spiritual counselors, all different kinds of aspects. So we feature a new guest every week, and as well as different specialized segments. So I hope you can join us at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday nights. So this week we're actually having a call-in show for free reading, so people always love that.
That's wonderful. What can we expect from you for the second half of this year?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm doing a little bit of traveling and promotion of intuitive parenting, so people can check my calendar and see where I'm going to be at. I will be in the Sturbridge Expo, Holistic Expo, in September, which I'm looking forward to. I have a large psychic fair coming up in Maine in August. But I am putting together the pieces of my next book, and which is going to be very exciting. It is actually based upon the journey that I'm taking right now. I've been spending the entire calendar year wearing nothing but the color white. And so we're exploring, can the intention, the purity of heart, supported by the action of wearing white, make a difference in your life? So, you know, definitely follow along on that journey with me. And that book would probably be another year in the making, but it's going to be really an exciting, exciting time for us.
Fabulous. Deborah, thank you for the great recipe for living that you have shared with us earlier and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Daphna Edwards Zimmern. She is a filmmaker, philanthropist, and the founder and chairperson of Children Uniting Nations, a charity that provides foster children with devoted non-paid mentors. Daphna and I will be discussing about her life's journey and the debut novel titled The Gray Zone. It is a story about her firsthand experience having adopted her daughter after rescuing her from a home shelter. For additional information about this show, future shows, and to receive a free recipe for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Dr. Snyder, thank you again and have a great day.
Thank you for having me on, Johnny. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.